Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're continuing now in the book of Nehemiah, this power-packed book, as we continue our theme from 2024, rebuilding. And I'm loving this book so much, I'm overexcited. My message today is almost a three-part series. I'm preaching from Nehemiah chapter 6. But I had to break it down into three messages that I'll be preaching today, next week, and the following week. Because it is so power-packed that if I was to preach all of chapter 6 to you, you would not be going home. We'd be having good, long revival services. Please, Lord. But because I know of the time constraints, so I've divided into three because it is so powerful. My message today begins with this. Stay on course. Stay on course. Don't let enemies deceive you. Stay on course. This is a word for every one of us that we need to internalize today. I have got to stay on course. This morning, as we met with our worship team and we're praying right here after their rehearsal, a number of different people shared a similarity in this type of context. That I want to be doing God's will. I want to fix my eyes on the Lord. It all means staying on course. So here's Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to read this together. I'm using today verses 1 to 9, reading from the New Living Translation. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. The fifth time, Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it is true, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you. Look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You're making up the whole thing. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with greater determination. Amen. God bless his reading. What is the title of my message? Some of you heard it online. You need to respond and even tell us where you're coming from or where you're worshiping from and tell us what the title of the message is. What is it, church? Stay on course. When does the enemy strike at you? When does the enemy strike at you? Can I tell you? It's when the work God has called you to is taking shape. If whatever God has called you to do, be it in your vocation, in your family, in your church, in your life, whatever God has called you to. The enemy will not bother you much when it's not working, when you're not doing it, when you're not in the Word, when you're not in prayer, when you're not diligent about the things of God. He will leave you alone because you're all good with Him. But when it begins to take shape, He strikes, and He strikes hard. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies. That Nehemiah is letting us know, I didn't have one enemy. I had a whole bunch of them. That ought to bring fear in anyone, but when you know the Lord, you fear God, not man or humans. It says, they found out we finished rebuilding the wall and that there were no gaps remaining. I remember preaching back, and this whole series is online. You can go back and look at some of the passages. The one I preach on no gaps, you got to get back to that, because we got to get these gaps out of our life so that we begin to see the blessings of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And so he says, though we had not set up the doors, we continued the work. Whenever we get serious about what the Lord wants to accomplish, not only through us, but even through those around us, those we're helping, once we're doing anything for the sake of the church or the community God has placed us in, we make the enemy angry. Can I just say to you, if you're not making the devil angry, you're too cozy with him. You got to realize this is a difficult life as a Christian, because the world is against us. The ungodly world is against us. But the God of heaven is with us. And when God is with us, doesn't matter who is against us. So never forget that the devil, he does his work daily, and his work is to frustrate you. In this 2025th year, don't fall apart every time he frustrates. Just say, okay, you're frustrating me because you want me to stop doing something. But step it up, put more fuel inside of you, Holy Ghost fire inside of you, and get ready to go higher. Every time he tries to push you off the ladder, go one step higher. Nehemiah and the Jews, they must have been so excited as they were now seeing their work take shape. Do you know when you begin to see a light at the end of the tunnel, there's a bubbling joy inside of you. And just as they began to be excited, their enemy, the devil, took a strategy that was more wicked than all they'd been doing. Remember, they kept saying, if you build it, a fox could tear it down. And they did all these things. Now it's almost finished, because if you stay on course, the devil is the one that is so messed up, he gets more and more angry because he didn't get you off track. So verse 2, Sanballat sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Folks, there are times the Lord will give you subtle indications of what's wrong. If you're called to go down to the city of Ono, or the village of Ono, what is Ono? Ono. No go, because it's Ono. You're like, I'm asking God what to do. He says it's Ono, so just don't go. Nehemiah said, but I realize they were plotting to harm me. How did he know? We're going to have to listen to the voice of the Spirit. How did he know not to go to Ono? Something inside of him says, oh no, don't go. And he goes, oh, I'm good with that, God. I'll trust you in this. There's going to be some hardship if I don't go, but I trust you, God. I realize they were plotting. He says, so I replied by sending this message. You got to have godly strategies when you can't go in the direction people want. Sometimes it's not just sufficient to say no. You got to have a godly strategy. He says this, I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Basically saying, listen, I'm going to stay on course. You want to meet with me? You come meet with me. Sometimes, especially young people, you're running here, there, and everywhere. You don't have to follow everybody's agenda. Let them fit into your agenda. He says, I'm not going. I'm into a great work. If you're on course, if you're staying focused, if your eyes are fixed, if you understand that you're in the will of God, you don't change your direction for other people. And how do we get there? We develop our discernment and grow in wisdom. Again, those that are online and even those that are new to PPC, during this past summer in 2024, we did an entire preaching on the book of Proverbs. A proverb what? A proverb a day? Proverb a day keeps foolishness away. And so we went through that. That's the wisdom book. And we were to grow. And I trust you've been growing in discernment and wisdom. These are two great spiritual gifts that every godly person must seek after. If you don't have wisdom in the decisions you're making, ask him. He says, if you ask, I'll give it. If you have no discernment, get in the Word of God, because the Word of God will always show you how to discern right from wrong. And so if you're not discerning good from evil, you've never learned to make the right decisions. Sometimes you see folks, they make the same error over and over and over again. Don't you sometimes get a little frustrated when it's the same? I mean, how long will you make the same error before you say this is foolish? When your knowledge of God is limited, that's the key, folks. When your knowledge of God is limited, your discernment is non-existent. When your knowledge of God is heightened, when the Word of God is in you, discernment pops into your spirit, because it is a spiritual gift for those who know the Lord, and you know the Lord by knowing His Word. So although the spiritual gifts of wisdom and discernment, although it's free for all, many find it difficult because we want to face our problem and fix it with worldly attributes and worldly ideas. And let me Google and see who else went through this problem. Why don't you get in the Word and see who in the Word went through that problem? Oh, I'm going through this. I think I'm going to go on Facebook and see, or I'm going to start a chat and see who else will get. Listen. That some of the chats that you're in, it's foolishness in Jesus' name. It's foolishness. Get in the Word of God and let it chat to you. Because when God begins to speak, everything takes shape. So here it is. When wisdom and discernment are growing, every believer develops a courage that frightens the enemy. When your wisdom is growing, when your discernment is intact, you frighten the enemy. And here's what Ephesians 5:11 says. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose the deeds of darkness. So Nehemiah proved that regardless of the enemy's strategies against him, he was going to walk with integrity of heart. He was going to trust God. He was going to keep on doing the work of God. He was going to keep his passion intact. He was going to let his love for the things of God be primary. And he knew that in doing that, God's peace and God's protection would be around him. God's peace and protection will surround you. Folks, do not fall prey to the enemy's strategies. There'll be a lot of them this year. No matter what comes, you've got to develop a confidence and know who you are in Christ, in God. You've got to say, this is coming at me. And you have two choices, fall apart or stand strong. Are you hearing me this morning? Fall apart, that's easy. Stand strong. That's actually easier, because when you stand strong, you begin to find strength for the next battle. When you fall apart, every battle brings you down. And this is it. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot show the power of God in weakness. We show it in the strength that we get from the strength of the Lord. Our weakness is made strong because of Jesus Christ. So the next question is, how does the enemy strike at you? Here's it. He uses people who think they have influence to distract others. He uses people who think they have influence to distract others. I need you. I keep saying, the only time it's good to pull out your phone is when you're taking some of these to post. How does the enemy strike at you? He uses people who, they don't have influence over you. They think they have influence to distract you, and you allow them then to have the influence to distract you. If you know that you will not be distracted by them, you will ignore where they're going. The Bible says four times they sent the same message, and each time he gave the same answer. Do you know what we would do? First time he sends it, we give an answer. The next time he sends it, we find another excuse. The next time after a while, we don't remember what we were saying or why we're, and so we begin to fall apart. He's like, this is the reason I'm not coming. And each time you come to me, it's the same answer. I'm busy doing a great work. I will not come down. Folks, many times we succumb to evil because of the relentlessness of the enemy. Nehemiah received a letter 4 times, and he ignored them all 4 times because the same letter was a repetition of the lies that was coming at him. Folks, there are times in our lives we need to realize that just because someone keeps bombarding you to do evil does not mean that you need to fall apart and do it. Oh, but they keep bothering me, and I just gave in. Well, the enemy is not going to stop bothering you until he sees my confidence is so strong in the answer I have declared. I shall not change. I will not change. And that is the thing, folks, that many of us have given up. We've been vacillating. We've been wibbly-wobbly. And we actually judge people who will stay firm in what they believe. And there'll be a lot of people judging you as Christians. You still believe that? You're still carrying on? Times and seasons have changed. Everything has changed, but God has not changed. His word has not changed. I will not wobble. I will not doubt. When Sanballat and Tobiah and the kings and princes from Israel realized they could not break Nehemiah down, they could not beat him down, they changed their strategy, and now they turned up the heat. Folks, if you're going to get courage, know the heat's going to be turned up. And don't fall apart when the heat's turned up. When the heat's turned up, you still stay on course. Verse 5, the fifth time Sanballat's servant came, this is the fifth time now, and they came with an open letter in his hand. Sanballat's servant now. An open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it is true, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you're building the wall. According to the reports, you plan to be their king. And he reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you, look, there's a king in Judah. Rumors are false story with false facts by divisive people. Rumors are false stories with false facts by divisive people. What is a rumor? False story, sounds good, with what? False facts, because sometimes the facts can be a little just altered. So the rumor spreads. So the rumor is good. It's amazing, those online in-house and all churches that are listening, it's amazing that we can say things from this pulpit, and by the time I hear it back, I'm like, were they sitting in church? Have any of you ever seen a story go out, and when it comes back around, you're like, wow. That could write another book altogether. The fifth time when the letter came, it was an open letter. In that day, open letters was not allowed. A letter written in any official capacity had a stamp put on it. It was sealed, and it would go in the hand of the carrier, and that seal should not be broken until it arrived in the hand of the individual that it was sent to. That was in their day. In our day, we put a stamp, we seal the envelope, and we send it. If you get a letter that is if it had to do with your personal documents, your SIN number or anything, and it was open, would you be nervous? Would you be nervous? Why? Because that type of letter should be sealed. Nobody should be seeing it. It should only be opened by you. So if you got it and it's open, you know somebody has been into this. So when Sanballat and Tobiah and the others, when they sent the open letter, they knew. They didn't even bring it themselves as officials. They sent it with a servant. They knew that servant's going to go, I wonder what's in here. Servant stops. You would not believe. By the time the servant has gotten all the way up to Jerusalem, there's a good 50 people who know, and they started telling another 50. And you know, nowadays, especially with all the technology we have, how good a rumor can be when it goes out. So they deliberately did that. They deliberately did that to scare him. And here's what Nehemiah realized. He'd been set up now in a big way to compromise, because before he refused to compromise with them. And when he refused, the devil began to change strategy to make him ashamed to leave the issue as is. And so he would have to reconsider his position. He'd have to reconsider. It's an open letter. Rumors have gone all over the villages. The devil is unscrupulous, and he has no shame in lying and in deceiving to destroy you. Friends, when you respect yourself, you've got to be able to rise up even above the rumor. You shall not be manipulated. So here's a funny thing now. It's coming out of the story. Remember it said, Sanballat, Tobiah listed one other name, Geshem the Arabian. Okay, when you look in the book, in the study books, Geshem the Arabian was an Arabian prince who had power and notoriety, but had no scruples. He was an easy ally for these enemies of Israel because the Arabs ran the trade routes. And so remember, if you go back in one of the earlier messages, I said the Sanballat and Tobiah did not want Israel to prosper because they had taken over the trade, they had taken over commerce, and they were running the city gates. They were the ones becoming wealthy while Israel was becoming impoverished. While God's blessing was for Israel, they were eating it all out, stealing it all out. And so now Geshem, their provider, the trade route guy that brings stuff from the Arabian country, he says, Geshem says he supports what we say. I'm sorry, Geshem doesn't even live around here. So how does he know? Geshem doesn't even know about the God of heaven. So how could Geshem be the one that is authenticating your words? Do you see how subtle the devil is? And folks, let me just throw in here, if your God is Mammon, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and others, they all wanted to have the manipulation of the finances of Israel because God was always blessing Israel. But if you are focused on that, you will join those who are only chasing what Mammon can do. But when you're chasing after God, you will stay on course. Stay on course. So here it is. If the enemies could stop the work, they would stop it to get their own profit margin. Unscrupulous business people with unscrupulous agenda. But Nehemiah refused to cater to their agenda. Nehemiah refused to bow to their lies. He would not compromise. He did not trust them. When you don't trust someone, don't cater to them. Can I just say that again? If you don't trust someone, love them like the Bible says, but don't cater. Are you hearing me this morning? That's the word of the Lord. And so they bombarded him. They bombarded his environment with lies. Lies that look so quickly to the truth that any weak person would swallow it up. That is the plight of the church. Remember, rumors are false stories with false facts. Why do I say false facts? See, when they said, it is reported that you are now going to be the king of Judah. So when you study the text, a couple of commentaries make some interesting analogies here. They said, here's what could have happened. When Nehemiah came from the prince of Persia, right? He's royalty in a sense because he worked for, remember? Track with me fast. He worked for the prince of Persia. So he's coming in a princely manner. And then he comes and he's now rebuilding the city. And all these poor, broken people who had become ostracized, who were coming out of war, who were demoralized. If they see somebody coming from the king's palace in Persia, don't you think some of them will think, oh, look, like we've got the king's blessing and we got the king's guy. And, you know, he's wouldn't some of you go, oh, look, the guy from the palace is here, and, you know, maybe we'll get the prince. You know, that type of conversation is going on. There's no facts to it. It's just that that's how people are talking. Now he says, and the prophet says that you want to be the king. Oh, there are lying prophets. Next week we'll touch that. But this week, all you need to know is the devil will use lies to destroy your testimony. And when the devil comes with his manipulations, his self-interest, his deceptive agenda, and he purports that you are this or you are that so that your testimony can be diminished, you stay on course. Talk to me, folks. Stay on course. Because it could be something you just said subtly. And you're like, and you're like, okay, you don't know the issue of my heart. You don't even know what I was trying. I didn't even have time to explain. I just said, have you ever answered someone and you just answered quickly and then they're gone down a pathway and you're like, hello, I was just trying to say something quickly. It doesn't have to be this big deal. Isn't that what breaks up half of families? One little word said in a rush, quickly or rashly. I can't believe it. Don't let the enemy destroy your testimony. So here's what Nehemiah did. He says, you can be very sure. You can be very sure. Here's what they said to Nehemiah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest you come and talk it over with me. You see the fear tactics? I'm going to tell. And when I tell, everything will be right. You can be sure it's going to the king. This is where Nehemiah is supposed to go. It's going to go to the king. They're going to tell the rumors. These are all lies. I'm going to have to go down to the plain of Ono and meet with them so that they can manipulate me. Nehemiah instead, I love his answer. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 6 verse 8, I think you've got that one. Let's read this together. Here's what you reply. I replied, what? There is no truth in any part of your story. You're making up the whole thing. Oh, you didn't read it with heart. You read it with eyes and a little lip. Now, when the devil is about to lie on you, deceive you, distract you, destroy you, you got to know what your stance is, where truth is and where lies begin. He says this to him. The I replied is us now. Okay, so let's start with there. 1, 2, 3. There is no truth in any part of your story. You're making up the whole thing. That's the good part, but it gets better. See, when you know the lies are untruth, walk away from it. Know your confidence is in Christ. Know what you've done. If you did something wrong, repent. If there's a way to fix it because you said it wrong, repent and fix it. Stop fighting lies because you could never win when you fight lies. The enemy's work was to slander Nehemiah personally. They tried to kill the work, they couldn't. So now they're trying to slander him. Because, folks, there's nothing worse. If somebody's trying something that you can get over, you're okay. But when they start to hit your character or your integrity, that's when it hurts so bad that you come out ready. You know, WWE wrestling comes all out of you. Nehemiah, they were trying to tear him down personally. And flesh and blood hurts when that happens. But he knew he was justified before God. Can you go through this year when you know you're justified before God, stand your ground? Only when you know. If you're not justified before God, fix it. Repent. Don't blame others. Don't put it on others. Fix it so that your blessing can be restored. The enemies wanted to make him seem like he was unstable, wicked, and divisive, and wanting to take the position of the king who blessed him and sent him there. But in wisdom, he discerned them. And when he saw their deception was heightening, I want you to know this is what happened. He stood his ground. Why does the enemy strike at true believers? Here's why he strikes so hard. He will strike at true believers because you are focused on doing a great work. Tell yourself, when I'm focused, say this, when I'm focused on doing a great work, the enemy will attack me. Remember that. Verse 9, They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Folks, you gotta have to get ready to ignore the enemies, the devil's tricks and tactics. Do not succumb to the enemy's plots, manipulation, or intimidation. Do not cave to discouragement or discouraging news. Do not give up doing what you are doing for the Lord. Because the Bible tells us, here's a caution to all believers. Comes out of 2 Thessalonians 3. It's an exhortation if we want to live righteously before the Lord. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. Who are you to stay away from? The ungodly? Come on, it's up there. Who are you going to stay away from? From who? From who? Are you telling me my God wrote this in the Bible? That there are some believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition of Christ? That's what Thessalonians is saying. Next week, we'll pick up from there. Oh, it's going to be good. Preach it yourself, because it's going to be good. But here are some ways to overcome the enemy's tactics and lies. Here's how you continue. Nehemiah 6, verse 9, the second part of it says, so I continued the work with even greater determination. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Would you just read it now? I love when you preach with me. It works. It's so good. Would you preach with me now? Apparently, I come to this side a lot. Help me out over here. You may be few, but you're mighty. Would you just let this section know what you're going to do? Whatever you're going through, get ready to continue with greater determination. Devil, your lies and your deception won't do me in. I'm not going to buckle under pressure. I'm going to buckle up under pressure. I'm going to work harder and longer and stronger. I can't work any longer and harder. I've been doing it for so long. Ask God for more strength and get ready to do it even harder. Trust that God will show up and make a way for you. Nehemiah says, listen, you guys are tired. You've been working night and day. We've done all the dung gates and all the city. We've done this. We've dug. We've taken up the rubble. We've taken the stones. Remember, they're going, you think you can remove all that stone? He goes, look, we removed it all. Now get ready with more determination. We're not going to let up now. We've been coming this far by faith, and we're going to keep on going in Jesus' name. So believers, stay on course. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let the enemy deceive you. This is a year where we're going to prove God's faithfulness, where you're going to laugh at the enemy. You can't laugh at him if you succumb to him, okay? Think about Nehemiah's story that we've been going through. They showed up in chapter 3. Who do you think you are? A fox can break the fence. He's like, fine, let me send a fox. What are you going to do? You think your few people could carry all that rubble? Don't come and help us. Watch us carry it. And it continued on until they're like, now they're attacking him personally. And this is because they're desperate to stop what God is doing. Don't let the enemy's desperation to stop you end up stopping you. God, I've been through some hell and high water. But devil, I'm climbing the ladder higher. Last year, let me ask you this morning. Are you dead? Oh, he was going to kill me. Are you dead? So as long as you're alive in the land of the living, didn't God take you through? The God who took you through, isn't he able to take you through again? So 2025, don't buckle. Don't cave. Don't allow the lies or the rumors of the enemy to get in your spirit. rebuild your life in truth, and you stay in trustworthiness because God is trustworthy. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Spirit of the living God. Father, I can't make it without you. I don't want to make it without you. God, I pray for the one who's trying so hard to make it without you. The one who has given themselves every explanation of how they will do and what they will do and what pep talk will help them and what podcast will pep them. But God, I just want the wisdom of God and the discernment of the Holy Spirit to make it so that every attack of the enemy, I will send him running and him trembling. I pray that for every person in this place and every person online. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, take us higher. Take us deeper. Take us wider in your love. Oh God, teach us from the lessons of Nehemiah how to stay our course, stand our ground.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.